Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord once again. We thank you for joining in to another broadcast of the Warfare Hour with Kingdom Builders International. Our host tonight, every Thursday, is Apostle Carlton Clark, the pastor of Warriors for Christ, House of Prayer International Ministries. We thank you so much for tuning in. We apologize for the technical problems. There was a slight delay. But God is still able. God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can think or ask. And truly, it's according to the power that works inside of us. So we keep pressing our way. Failure is not an option. Quitting is not an option. So we thank God for another live broadcast. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks. I thank you so much for just being faithful to God, faithful to our King. I'm going to lift the lines up for a word of prayer, cover the apostle, and I'm going to yield to you, apostle, after that. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we can call on you any time, day, or hour. Father, you sit high and you look low. You're all-knowing, and we thank you for it, Lord God. Father, we ask you right now that you would cover these lines with the blood of Jesus. Cover the apostle with the blood of Jesus from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Allow the oracles of God to go forth as he opened his mouth penetrate the hearts of the people, Lord God. Allow them to receive what you are saying through your man of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for every hungry ear, every hungry heart, every person via internet, Lord God. We thank you for the international listeners, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you have granted this opportunity. You have opened up this door, and we give you honor, praises, and glory for who you are and what you're going to do in this warfare hour tonight. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, we say amen, 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 and we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Get your Bibles ready, and I'm going to yield to you, Apostle Clark, at this time.
Amen, amen. Can you hear us well?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Well, we praise God for another day and for allowing us to go forth and to be live here in the city of glory, called the city of Gary, Indiana. We just thank God for another Thursday night that He has allowed for us to be in us and for us to go forth. We want to dedicate our team tonight to the families that are suffering from bereavement. We do have some here in the city of Gary, and even in our own family, the Barnes family. Bless them in a mighty way that they'll be able to overcome those things that the enemy is trying to put in their heart to stop them from believing in Him. And also to the Maybon family going through. And we just know that God is the one that can give us that peace that surpasses our understanding. Also want to dedicate tonight's teaching to two of our warriors as part of our ministry, and they're fighting through illnesses and sickness. Our own evangelist, Hannah, we pray God's mighty hand to touch and heal her in a mighty way. And to Sister Psalmist Elliot Marie Barnes, who also is part of our ministry, and we love you very much, and we I pray that tonight will be a blessing to you as well as all that are listening on tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together once more and again, God, just to be in your presence. Lead, God, and direct us into all truth on tonight, oh God, and allow your word to go forth unfettered, oh God. Allow the fullness of your word to saturate those that are listening on tonight, Father, and let this word, which is yours, be a blessing unto all that hear. Let it be a free mind for those that are trying to get on board tonight, Father, that be able to hear the broadcast, Father, with no interruptions, and clearly and concisely, oh God. Lead, God, and direct us, Father, to your truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all that agree say amen, hallelujah, amen, amen. Well, I pray that everyone had a wonderful and glorious Thanksgiving holiday, a time where a family comes together, a time where people come from thousands of miles away. I myself was one that was in the military for 20 years, and I really looked forward to coming home during the holidays, but especially during Thanksgiving. That's a time when family really does some things that generally they don't do the rest of the year. And that kind of led me to what we're going to talk about on tonight. Actually, we have what I call a dual text or dual lesson plan, if you look at it that way. We're going to talk about the family, the purpose of the family, and what God charged us to do as a family, what he left here on the earth for us to use, the authority that he left to the family. And then I want to talk about the warnings that God has warned us against, those things that will cause us not to be able to be in his fullness at all times. Because this is a warfare hour. If you recall, we've been talking about those individual things that are weapons and can be used against the wiles of the enemy. The enemy is one that has placed himself in a position of being an angel of light. He is a master of disguise. His goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy the church. He wants to kill your thoughts. He wants to kill your manner of reasoning. He wants you to not be able to seek God, and if you seek him, not to hear his voice. He wants to cloud our judgment. He wants to place us in the abyss. He wants to strangle us, even take the breath away from us, and put us in a position of hopelessness and helplessness. However, we have a Savior. We have been left with a comforter that gently whispers in our ears, leads, guides, and directs us to the pattern and the post in which we are to maintain. Just let me give you a quick definition of family. If you recall, before I go to the definition, however, I pray that you were able to do your reading and your meditation in the book of John, the 17th chapter. Because that's where Jesus, before he left the earth, prayed for us, prayed that we would receive everything that God had given to him. He set the stage by telling the Father what he had done while on the earth and what the disciples had done that was followers of him, and asked for strength, guidance and direction, not only for them, but for all that would come and believe those things that they said. God has told us in many scriptures, but one in particular, was to prepare ourselves to understand what it is he has for us to do. Second Timothy, the second chapter, verse 19, verse 15, states for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. And so you kind of have to look at the word study. But before we go there, we always do, we're going to ask that you will repeat after us, this scripture: open thine mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Psalms 119, verse 18, saying, reveal unto us, O God, what it is that you have for us in your word, that we'll be able to understand it. You know, there's a scripture that tells us, in all you're getting, get understanding. And so prayerfully, if you pray with me, I pray that you'll be able to get some understanding concerning those things that we plan to bring out today. Amen? Amen. Definition of family. If you recall, in biblical times, the family was composed of all who claimed kin to the father of the household. This included the wife, the children, the unmarried brothers and sisters. It included the parents and even other relatives. Back in those days, they had you could have multiple wives and concubines, but so we recognize that that's not the way it should be done now. But back then, all of those were included as part of the family. The father's position was that of possessor and master, mirroring the Father which is in heaven. His will was binding upon the community of the family, which attached itself to him. A man's strength and authority were carried on generally or usually in his sons. And there was an emphasis on bearing many, many children. Although her primary duty was to bear children, the mother also possessed considerable authority over the family and was due the respect and the honor of her husband as well as her children and those that were members of the family. Man's relationship to God and his fellow those that believed also in the Father is also described in the language that's in the Bible today. Those family relations terms such as father, sons, children, brethren, the household of God, as well as the household of faith. And so that gives you a short and sweet definition of what the family is. Now, in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, God has charged the family or the nation, because when you say family or nation, it basically is synonymous, because God has placed on the earth rules, regulations. He also has given through declaration what he intended for us to do. God warned us in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 14 through 20. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 14 through 20. So this is really going to be our text of scriptures. I know usually when we are in church or studying, somebody always say, well, let me know when you have it. But since I can't hear you, I'm going to go ahead and say amen and pray that you have it now. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. This is under the heading of God's Warning, Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 14 through verse 20. Verse 14, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can do it. Verse 15, I have set, or see, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Verse 16, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land into which you go to possess. Verse 17, but if your mind and heart turn away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, verse 18, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not live long in the land which you pass over the Jordan to enter and possess. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. And verse 20, and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Hallelujah. And the word of God is already blessed. Here we see that the children of Israel are in the wilderness. And Moses has had to come to them and let them know what thus says the Lord. Even in today's time, our pastors, teachers, those that are in the fivefold, receive a word from God, and they do their due diligence to get that word out and to make sure that those that are out there know that, hey, this is what God has said. Nowadays, is this the apostolic and the prophetic movement? The prophets are hearing from the word in a mighty way, and they're trying to get the word out. But for some reason, the church doesn't want to receive it. And all through the Bible, which is the basic instruction before leaving earth, or at least one of the acronyms that's used, I think is pretty appropriate, folks still want to do it their way. Joshua best said it like this. If you turn to Joshua basically what he said was, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I know you've heard it before, but what's difficult about that is, in today's time, there's not an average household that has the father as the head. Oh, yes, there's 2 to 3 of 10 that are father-led. But often the father that is leading the house is one that doesn't go to church or has decided to do things through his own strength. The other fathers are in jail or don't go to church, not taking care of their children, or not in a position to be a leader. There's a blessing in being a father, but that father has to be one that's led by God. A father can be a blessing to the family. He is the one who has been charged to lead the family. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, we always seem to go back there, but you'll find out that that's like a core scripture in the kingdom. You're going to end up going to that quite often in many instances just to find out what did God say. And what did he do? Verse 26, God said, let us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them. He made them happy and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. The seed has been planted in our minds and our thoughts and our consciousness that we are like God. We were made in his image, in his likeness. We are to be like him. So he's put that in our DNA. However, because he also has given us free will, we begin to actually begin to dissect the DNA from within our bodies, from within our consciousness. And we began to allow our will and our intellect, as well as our flesh, to overcome that which is in the DNA. But God continually throughout the scriptures has charged and given instruction on who was to be the leader in the family. So what he did, he charged the family. As I just shared with you, he charged the family in Deuteronomy, but then he went to Genesis, the 35th chapter, verse 1 through 5. He intended for us to be able to worship him. He intended for us to be able to give honor unto him. God set before us, even when I use the scripture in Deuteronomy concerning the children of Israel, when he gave the commandments, the very first commandment that he gave was that thou should have no other God before me. He meant that thing. The first four commandments had to do with not having any image, or graven image, or any likeness of him on the earth other than ourselves. He didn't want us to build a monument to him, but he wanted us to be that monument. He wanted us to live in the manner that was great and gracious concerning him. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 through 4, Jacob, he has charged Jacob to build an altar. Jacob said to his house in verse 2, to hold and to all that were with him, put away the images of strange gods that are among you, and purify yourself and change into fresh garments. Put on some clean, a whole new wineskin. Change the way you're looking at things. Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar to God. Bethel was a sacred place. He said, we're going to go there, and we're going to make an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me wherever I went. So both the young men and the women gave to Jacob all the strange gods that they had and their earrings, which were worn as charms against evil. Here, there were many things that they had began to do when they were in captivity. And many of those things are things that follow us. I said this was a time of family. And you'll recall that in family, there's a lot of traditions. In marriage, there's the jumping of the broom, particularly in the African American heritage. There's if you cook a turkey, there's a bone on the inside of the turkey that you take out and you dry it. It's called the wishbone. And then you give it to, generally, you kind of like fight to see who's going to get the wishbone, and then you break the wishbone. And if you get the larger portion of the wishbone, then you can make a wish. It's just so many different things that we've done tradition-wise. It's no different in the church. But since we're talking about family in particular, there's many superstitions, which were things that was carried on and handed down from the elders. Sweep a broom over my feet. If you do, you got to take the broom and throw some salt over your shoulder or something and spit on the spit on the broom. Don't walk up on the ladder, which that kind of makes sense because, you know, somebody, whoever's standing on the ladder could drop something on your head. If you see a black cat across the street, it's just so many different things that came from things we have absolutely no idea where they came from. Some are even more bizarre than that. Some of them, because of those things that our parents and grandparents and ancestors have done, they put curses upon us. And we were bound by some of those curses, if you look in the Old Testament, down through four and five generations. And so in order to break those generational curses, the family has to, as I spoke earlier, have an altar, a place that they can go. Generally, if the father is part of that, of the equation, it's the same as going to the priest. You can go to the Godhead of the family and be recompensed for making a mistake. When Jesus gave communion and broke the body, he said, this we're going to do in remembrance of me, but it's for the remission of sin. The family has always been ordained by God to put us in a position of cleansing ourselves from unrighteousness. And it really took what he left on the earth of the Father to be in that position to make that happen. Amen. A family is blessed when it's in unity. Psalms 133, verse 1 through 3, tells us how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then it goes on to describe how blessed it was. If you recall back in old days, in olden days, they anointed your head with oil. You know, 23rd Psalm speaks of it. Speaks of anointing the head with oil and the cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 23rd Psalm speaks of in David's time when Samuel got ready to anoint the king and went to the house of Jesse, he went to pour the oil on each of the sons' head, and the Lord, the Spirit of God, said, no, it's not the one. And until he actually got down to David, and then when he did get to David, he literally and liberally poured the oil over his head so that it ran down his entire body. But here, and that was a wonderful thing. That was a great thing. When the man of God, the prophet of God, did that, everybody understood that that was the key to what God had said. But here in Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment on the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard. Back in those days, the men, particularly those of godly men, would allow their hair to grow. And their beard would be so long that it would actually go all the way down to the ground. It would be very, very long, well kept. So to pour enough oil that it would run over the head, all the way down the face, and over the beard, all the way down to the ground, they had a large pitcher of beer. They didn't have a small little container of oil. That's a pitcher of beer. Oh, Lord, how much of oil. A pitcher of oil that they poured over the priest's head. And it went all the way down to the ground. And he compared it to the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon, which it dew comes up from the ground, but it came up in such abundance that it actually flowed down the mountain like a rushing river. And so it was very vivid the way the explanation of the anointing was. In John, the 10th chapter, verse 16, it also speaks of how the anointing, or how the family is blessed when there is unity. In verse 16, it says, I have other sheep besides these that are not of the fold. I must bring and impel those also, and they will listen to my voice and heed my call. And so they will become one flock under one shepherd. God intends for us all over the earth, Jews and Gentiles, free man and slave, to come together and be one body under one shepherd. That is the way he designed it. That is the way that he intends for it to manifest itself. Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 17 through 19, again, as I was sharing with you, God placed the father in a position of authority. And the father of us is basically Abraham. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham my friend and servant? Now we're in Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 17. We're going to go to verse 19. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham my friend and servant what I am going to do? Verse 18, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation or family, and all the nations of the earth, families of the earth, shall be blessed through him, and shall bless themselves by him. Verse 19, for I have known, chosen, acknowledged him as my own, so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his house after him, to keep the ways of the Lord and to do what is just and righteous, so that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has promised him. He has promised him that when he looked up in the skies, he said, count the stars, that I will make a mighty nation. That's going to be your family. Now, at the time, he didn't even have one son. And when God can make that kind of plea and promise and covenant, he intends to fulfill it. What we need to know, that family is part of what God said is going to be here on the earth. Turn to Psalms 112. Psalms 112. And share a little bit of something with you right quick. When you get to Psalms 112, go to beginning at verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 4. Now, I contend to you that a righteous father is a blessing to the family, if you remember me saying that earlier. Well, here is the proof of that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied. Let me say that again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, comma, happy, comma, fortunate, comma, to be envied is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, comma, who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, that's just verse 1. Verse 2, his spiritual offspring shall be be mighty upon the earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. That's just translated as happy. Verse 3, prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, this is a righteous father. Verse 4, light arises in the darkness for the upright, gracious, compassionate, and just, who are in right standing with God. Men that are listening today, put yourself in a position to be a father if you're not a father. Put yourself in a position to be a father that you can be a blessing to those that are clinging to what you are doing in the name of Jesus. I'm taking absolutely nothing away from the wonderful women that have stood in the gap and raised us men without a father, that have clinged to us and prayed for us and travailed for us, feed us. I pray and praise God for all that you do and continue to do. The church would be nothing now were it not for the women that are on this earth. Hallelujah. Anybody that doesn't know that is a nut. God did, however, have an order in which he wanted to bless this earth. And the earth is travailing because the men are not in their position, a rightful position. They're running from the position, or they don't know how to step into the position because there was no guidance. Here in this scripture that we read before this one, Abraham taught his sons, Isaac, and then Isaac taught Jacob, his son. It is intended for us to teach our generation. That's why when Joshua said, as for me and my house, I mean everybody that falls up under the jurisdiction and adheres to and calls me father of the household, we shall call on the name of the Lord. What I'm finding is we have to put ourselves in a position to receive what God has for us. The family is to be wise, Proverbs 24, verse 3 through 6. God has changed the family. He's charged the family. He's also given warnings. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 24 through 25, warns us of false prophets, false apostles, false Christ. Said that they will arise and they'll show great signs and wonders. So to deceive and leave astray, impossible even the elect. Let me share this with you as we come to a conclusion. Don't you think that you're exempt from being fooled by the enemy? Well, once you do that, you place yourself in a position of being hoodwinked and bamboozled. You will get your feelings really, really hurt. You will get stepped on by the enemy when you think that you're exempt from being fooled. God has warned us on many occasions to look out for the sheep or the wool in sheep's clothing. Now, I got a cross reference that'll back up what I just read in 24. But verse 25 says, see, I have warned you beforehand. God intends for you. He said, I'm warning you, I'm telling you, I'm pleading with you. You need to be looking out for these knuckleheads that's coming to seek to kill and to destroy you. If you got your guards down, you're not wearing the full armor of God. If you're walking out there thinking that you're God's gift to the ministry, if you're not studying to show yourself approved of the God unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. If you're not charging your family, if you're not listening and praying on a regular, if you're not guarding yourself by the weapons, if you're not using the weapons properly, if you don't know what the weapons of warfare are, if you go into the dogfight, you go into a gunfight with a knife, the enemy is waiting on you, laughing, and he's coming. But I'll share this with you. He ain't that bad. Hallelujah. First of all, you got to invite the enemy into your camp. It said we'll run after him, and we'll get to the gates of heaven, the gates of hell, and the gates would not prevail against us. I don't know what's going on. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28 through 31. I share this with you. God intends for us to know who he is. But we are sure to know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. I pray even right now as we conclude that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I pray that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Failure is not an option in the family because God has placed, if you don't have a natural father, he's given the apostles and the prophets and pastors, teachers and evangelists. He's placed us in a position of teaching, leading, guiding, and directing to allow you to see those things and know the Godhead. See God, the fatherhood or the mentorship of fathers and family in him through those that he left here on the earth. I pray that you lay hands on the sick and that you believe all those things that God has left with us. Last time we were on the air, we talked about the keys to the kingdom. Go back and look at your notes about those keys to the kingdom. They are available for us at all times. Use and utilize the weapons of warfare in every and all things that you do. Pray mightily, fast. Put yourself in a position of guarding your gateways, and God can, will, do all that he has said. His desire is to give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his riches in glory. I want to pray and thank you for allowing us to come together again on today. God bless you. God keep you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Amen, Apostle. God bless you. God bless you. Were you getting ready to pray, or did I come in too soon?
No, you go right ahead.
Amen. Amen. One family. Yes, Lord. Yes, for it is the will of God. What a mighty word, you know, and it's so true. As the word went forth, God has a plan for family, and we are the children of God, so that make us family in the kingdom. And I just bless God for that word, and I know the listeners are blessed with what went forth tonight, and we truly thank you, Apostle, for just setting yourself aside, just being able to say, yes, I'll pour into the people of God. I'll sacrifice every Thursday, and I'll come forth, and I'll give what God gave me. So we send much blessings to you just for loving God as you do and loving God's people. I just want to ask the listeners if there's anyone on the line that have not received Christ as your Savior, this Jesus that Apostle was speaking about, and you want him in your life, I just want to ask you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you confessing that I am a sinner. I repent from my sins, and I ask your forgiveness, Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you raised him from the dead. I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I believe that through his shedded blood, I have eternal life. Please come into my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me so that my soul can reach heaven. Father, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. If you prayed this prayer in earnesty and you believe in your heart that Jesus came and he died and he rose again and he is the Son of God and he came for the remission, every drop of blood that was shed, it was shed for the remission of those sins that have made you feel condemned and guilty, that he paid the price. If you said that and you believed it, believe what you said, you're saved. Your sins have been forgiven, and you're now one in the body of Christ. We welcome you to the family of Christ, and we're glad, we're excited that you decided to give your life to Jesus tonight. Our family, we look forward to fellowshipping with you on these lines. We encourage you to go to our website and just check out the website. It is under construction, but however, check it out. And if you like a Bible, we'll be more than happy to send you out a Bible. And just a family, extended family, reaching out to you to tell you that Jesus loves you, to encourage you, to build you up. And that's what all these teaching, the lines are for. Critique just for you, just for you. So we encourage you tonight to get excited, for you do have a life to live. And Jesus loves you, and so do we. We send much blessings to everyone on the line tonight. And because we did have a little technical difficulty, we're not going to be able to open the lines up. But however, we send much blessings and love and peace. Apostle, if you'd like to have a closing word.
Yes. I'd like to invite those that are listening. You can contact me on Facebook, Carlton Clark at yahoo.com if you have questions. Also, we are going to be featuring some artists musically in future events. We pray that you'll enjoy what we feature for you, because it definitely is kingdom warfare music. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to want to get some of it, and you may already even have some of it, but we just want to share it with you because it's been a blessing to us. I thank God for those in the ministry that have been praying for us, have been encouraging us to go forth. I give honor to our covering Apostle Leonard Emmons of the Living Way Christian Center here in the city of Gary. We're going to be appreciating him this month on the 17th. Hallelujah. For he is worthy of honor. He's a wonderful man of God. His family is spectacular. They live and breathe those things that are of God. I praise God for the kingdom builders and the kingdom daughters for allowing us this opportunity. They are wonderful intercessors and praying have a wonderful word, each one of them, and I've met only a few of them, but I'm looking forward to meeting some of the other prophetesses that have been praying mightily for us, and I just thank God for the fervency of their prayer concerning us and our family. Thank you for we've had a bereavement. Thank you for your prayers. Again, we pray for the family, the Barnes family, who will be eulogizing their loved one on tomorrow, and also for the Maybon family who eulogized their loved one on this past Saturday. And for those that are sick and shut in, we pray that we were able to uplift you in a way today to give you some happiness, blessedness from God. But especially to those that are in the fold today, that Evangelist Hannah, God bless, God speed. We pray and declare, decree that your veins and corpuscles and capillaries and everything that has to do anything with your breathing is opened. Your earways, every gateway that the enemy has tried to close, that it be opened. We just declare and decree that God is in control of all things concerning you. We can do all things when we touch and agree. And a wonderful, a strong man in God can get a prayer through. These women and men of God are warriors and have been warriors before we even came on board. And we just pray mightily for them. Also for Sister Elliot Marie Barnes' strength. They fight. These are warriors. These folks have been in the hospital numerous times, and they continue to fight. They are not believing the enemy's report. They believe in God's report. They know that they got another doctor. Hallelujah. And so I pray for their strength and their resolve. This too shall pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Apostle, I just noticed that Apostle Emmons is on the line.
And amen.
See if we can get the board open just to get comments from him. I truly apologize for not being able to open the lines for the ones on the line, but we praise God. We pray that this line open up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Apostle Emmons, can you hear me?
Praise God, praise God. We can hear you. Can you
God
hear me?
God bless you. God bless
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, bless God for you, woman of God. Bless God for you, prophetess. Praise God for the Docs family and for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. Praise God for all of you. And again, I'll make this brief. I know the time is short. We praise God for the message and for the messenger, Apostle Clark. Praise God for encouraging those that are listening, especially with the institution that God has set up in the earth, the family, and the order that God has set up. And we trust that everyone was blessed, encouraged, and even hopefully that we're all reminded of the emphasis that God has set in the earth. I mean, God is he's not only about the kingdom, but of course he established the institution of family, and the order that he has established is ordained, and it is holy. And I trust that all of us are just reminded, especially as we're closing out this calendar year, and maybe even some of us are just mindful to establish some things, because this year, 2012, is a year of establishment, again, with those last two numbers being 12. So God is establishing some things that are going to be set for the rest of the decade. And what better place to start, of course, than in the home, in the family? And what better place to start, of course, with fathers? I mean, because that's where the anointing is supposed to flow. So we're just grateful to God for your apostle. Praise God for Kingdom Builders. And we trust that everyone is just excited about what Jesus is doing in the earth, especially through the family of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. This is a season to celebrate your family as well. There's nothing like family, and that's who we have to work on the most to bring into the kingdom, to bring into the understanding that they need Jesus. And if everyone would start with family, then I believe that some of these pants would get pulled up. I believe that a true change would come for our young people. So I thank you once again, Apostle Emmons and Apostle Clark, for just spending time with God and getting a word from him and being able to pour into God's people. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need. We thank you once again, Apostle Clark. If there's anything you want to say before we close, or had you said it all, but we do. I lift up Evangelist Hannah.
She's recovering,
and praise God. Hopefully she'll be out on tomorrow or Saturday. So we give
praise
God glory
God.
And honor for that. For truly, yes, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the kind of God we serve. And we lift up all the requests. We wrote them down, and truly we will be going into prayer on tonight and again on Sunday with Kingdom Daughters. So I just want to encourage everyone on the line to know that God loves you, and there is an assignment that he has released upon earth for you, particularly for you. So go on your face and hear what God wants from you. So you can be a doer of the word, a doer. And we thank you once again for tuning in with us. We're here every Thursday with the Warfare Hour, Apostle Carlton Clark. And go and tell somebody. If you were blessed tonight, which I know you were, grab somebody by the hand. Give them the line. Give them the website. And tell them, tune in. Give them his email address if they have questions or they were encouraged. Just to encourage the man of God. We bless you, we love you, and we just say, have a blessed night with your family. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you, Prophetess, and have a wonderful evening, you and your family.
Thank you.
And we do love you. And hug the man of God for him and let him know that he's always in my prayers.
I sure will. I sure will. Thank you so much. And you give your wife a big hug and tell her we are family. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks for the encouraging words, Apostle. Bless God. Bless God.